What if the impossible was right in front of you and you still couldn't explain it? I'm Mona Shanae, and today I'm joined by professional magician Casper Thomas, ahead of his Art of Close-Up Magic show at the Langdon Green Festival on the 27th of June. I have to admit, interviewing a magician is no easy task when the real magic is seeing it for yourself. With more than 14 years as a professional, Casper shares his secrets behind the craft, from a sleight of the hand and psychology to the art of leaving audiences astonished. And here's my conversation.
Hello, Casper. How are you? Thank you so much for joining, because I know you're a busy person. You're having an act called The Art of Close-Up Magic coming up very shortly. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about the event?
Yeah, so I'm a professional magician and I perform two kinds of magic. I do shows for private gigs. I also do public shows, and most of my public shows are at the various fringe festivals around the UK, and one of which is the Langdon Green Festival, which is coming up at the end of June.
Indeed. And I'm looking forward to it because I love magic like everyone else. It's one of those things where you wait to be amazed because you know that you will be amazed. And I'm quite sure indeed we will be amazed when you have your show coming up. How long have you been into magic self?
I've been into magic since I was about 7 or 8 years old. And it's been a hobby since then. And then about 14 years ago was when I became a full-time professional, became both my hobby and my profession.
And what attracted you to just magic overall?
God, that's a good question. I think pretty much every 7 or 8 year old loves magic when they see it. It's just a small minority of those 7 or 8 year olds actually go on and carry on and stick with it and, you know, keep with it as a hobby for the rest of their lives. Yeah. I think that's as best I can answer the question.
Looking up your profile, I've seen that you don't use fancy props and it's very much in person. Tell me how that feels, because does it put you on guard or does it give you that sense of self-confidence?
It's very, it's very, very nerve-wracking when you do perform. Performing magic is a nerve-wracking thing, and it only gets less nerve-wracking the more you do it, because obviously you get to practice and you get to work out things that go wrong, you get to correct them and so on, and you know how to deal with people and so on. There's different kinds of magic. So there's big scale illusions, that the David Copperfield type magic, which is very choreographed, and you're dealing with big contraptions that are on stage and that are very far away from the people. So the skill set required for a big illusion show is quite different for the skill set required for a much more close up kind of magic, where you can't really hide behind the props, and there's more sleight of hand is more important, psychology is more important, management of spectators is more important, and it is a nerve wracking thing that only gets better with practice.
Speaking of psychology and being close up, do you find yourself, even in natural scenarios, natural surroundings, paying attention to people a little bit more than you than the ordinary person would? Or wouldn't I should say?
I'm not so sure about that. I don't think so. I feel like magic is, for me personally, I can't speak for the magicians, but for me personally, I feel like magic is one domain of my life where I'm either in magician mode or I'm in normal person mode. So I think, the only place where magic might seep into the real world, I think, is more when I'm watching the news or I'm watching a politician speak or something, when I'm aware that there is the effect that politician is trying to create. They're trying to create a certain thing. They're trying to get people to believe a certain thing, or to get them to vote for them, or whatever it might be. And then there's what's really going on. Because magic is split. There's two aspects to it. There's the effect and there's the method. The effect is what you want the audience to see. And then the method is how you create the thing that you want the audience to see. And that does translate into other areas of life.
How much of your magic is misdirection versus just technique?
Yeah. Misdirection is a part of technique. So technique is being able to do the moves, which is the sleight of hand. Direction is being able to direct people's attention in certain places when you're doing something somewhere else. Psychology is also a part technique. Being able to manage a spectator's, being able to manage a spectator is also part technique. Presentation is a part technique. So yeah, misdirection is one aspect of magician's technique.
You know, you have people into sports, they practice singing, they practice swimming, or whatever they do, they practice. How does magician practice?
It's just like those things. I always say it's like being a musician. You know, you have to sit on your own and you have to practice, and it's boring. And it's demoralizing at times. And then sometimes it's fantastic because you'll make a breakthrough because you can do something that you couldn't previously do. It's just like being a musician. You've got to put in the time. You've got to put in the effort. And there's also a difference. Like being a musician, you have the time where you're sitting on your own practicing your instrument. And then you've got the time in front of people, and they're two different things. When you're playing a musical instrument, I presume as a musician, when you're playing a musical instrument in front of an audience, it feels very different to when you're practicing on your own. And it's just the same with magic as well.
I know you've played at the Brighton Fringe and several other festivals. What's the difference between playing at a, you know, more intimate area versus a larger theater?
When you're in a smaller space, like I will be for the Langton Green Festival on the 27th, it's much more of an intimate environment. It's almost like you're performing for friends and family, and almost everybody can get involved in some way, even if it's just picking a card or calling out a number or something like that. On the other hand, if you're playing a bigger venue, you don't get that kind of intimate feel. But what you do get is, I would say, more of a very sort of high level of energy. You get a lot of energy in the room, but it can work the other way as well. If you've got a big room and the energy is not there, then that can be disastrous.
Speaking of energy, has there been any type of response back, you know, from the audience that what you've done that's actually surprised you?
I do find is that there are times when I will perform a trick which I'm very confident is going to get a great reaction and is going to be very, very baffling to the audience, and it doesn't get a great reaction. It's real, you know, a damp squib. And then there are times when I'll do something that I think, oh, I'll just try this, it's probably not going to be very interesting to the audience, and I'll do it and it'll get a great reaction. It's very hard. This is why, again, speaks to that difference between doing things in real life and doing things in practice. When you do things in real life in front of an audience, it can be really quite surprising how things are different. And I'm sure it's the same for comedians. I'm guessing it's the same for comedians only, because they similarly, I'm sure there are jokes that they think are pretty lame that get a fantastic reaction, and jokes that they think are great and they don't get any response at all.
Well, I'm thinking that anything that appears when I don't see it, or someone does something that I cannot see that it was there before, is going to be awesome. Is there anything that you will do without giving out anything, you know, special magical tricks? What can they expect?
Well, my shows in general are a real variety of different kinds of magic. So you've got magic with cards, coins, handkerchiefs, knives, puppets. What else? Yeah, there's probably, oh, and books. Yes. One of the routines that I do in this show is probably the most popular routine, because I've actually done it in previous shows and I've kept it in because it's so popular, is a routine that I do with a book. And it's where I'm able to say what word is going to be at a certain place in the book, which is decided by the audience. It's a really, really phenomenal routine. And the great thing about this trick is that it can be done with any book. So it could be a book that's borrowed from a member of the audience. So if there's anybody listening to this interview who does want to come to the show, I do suggest that you do bring any book that you have on your bookshelf, like a paperback novel is ideal, lots of text in it, and I will perform a trick with your very book, assuming you get chosen, of course.
I'm very much forward to it. Casper, thank you so much for your time. I'm very excited to see just about what's going to happen, because I don't know what's going to happen, but magic.
Absolutely, lots of it.
You've just heard my conversation with magician Casper Thomas, head of the Art of Close-Up Magic show at the Langton Green Festival on the 27th of June. If today's conversation has taught us anything, it's that what we think we see isn't always what's really happening. For West Kent Radio, I'm Mona Chenet.